In the year 1680, Friera Lawrence stayed as close to God as he humbly scrubbed dishes and cooking pots in a hospital kitchen and chamber pots in the patient dormitory. And while he prayed at the usual times that everyone else did around him, Lawrence believed that there was better time spent in talking to God instead of spending his time complaining to others about the menial task he had to do. And so while others were grumbling at one another about cleaning the chamber pots or scrubbing the large cooking pots in the hospital kitchen, Friera spent his time praying to God. He found that prayer to him was a life-changing thing during the workday, and he discovered the benefit of praying throughout the day. When he wrote his memoirs years later, it was entitled Practicing the Presence of God. He wrote the following: "It is a great delusion to think that our times of prayer ought to differ from other times of our day. We are as obliged to cleave to God in the time of action as we are in the season of prayer." In short, what he was advocating is pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Sometimes I think it is that we have this tendency to compartmentalize our lives. When I'm here doing this, that's all I'm about. And when I'm over here doing that, that's the only thing I'm about. When the truth is that wherever we find ourselves, in whatever role we are in any given day, we are always the children of God. We are always only a prayer away from our Father in heaven who hears us at all times. Quite often, though, we limit our prayers to worship services or to Bible study or family meals or bedtime. But what about in the middle of the workday? Or maybe in the middle of the afternoon of a workday? To pray on the job, I'm not suggesting that we fall down on our knees, clasp our hands together, close our eyes, and word a prayer interrupting the work process. But what it means is that our work decisions, or our school decisions, or even our recreation plans and decisions, and all the relationships that we engage in and encounter in a day's time can be brought to God and shared with him throughout the day in silent prayer. So wherever we are and whatever it is we find ourselves doing, why not ask God to be a part of it? When prayer enters into and permeates every aspect of our lives, I think we'll find ourselves more at peace and that we'll live with a greater confidence, regardless of how bad the storm is swirling around our lives. Prayer should make, as one author wrote, prayer should make our main path through life, not an emergency detour. Jesus said with regard to prayer in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Jesus had a wonderful way of ending his brief sermons and his parables with a statement that made you rock back on your heels and say, "I hadn't thought of that. That makes so much sense. I think of all the things that Jesus has said at the close of parables and short sermons, this one has perhaps the strongest punch. Because what had he been talking about but praying continually? Not just praying from habit, but praying from the earnestness of this widow who appealed to the judge for a verdict against her adversary. Jesus said, God's going to answer, and in His time God will be answering speedily, even though it appears to us He's waiting a long time. So what falls to us? To pray continually, to pray earnestly, and to let God resolve it in His time. Because Jesus said the alternative is that He's not going to find faith in this world. Unless you and I are diligent in our prayers, Jesus is in essence saying God's not going to measure or we're not going to have enough faith for God to measure or regard. Will He really find faith in this world if people pray as they have been? Pray earnestly. Pray frequently. Pray without ceasing. One of the things that faithful disciples pray for frequently, especially as we gather for our worship services or our Bible studies, is that those who need to complete their obedience before the Lord will have tender hearts, that the Word of God have reached into them and has moved and motivated them to fulfill their obligation before the Lord, to increase the number in heaven and the number of saved in this world by one. That's what we're praying for. You'll be saved. But you, in reality, are the only one who can truly answer that prayer by measuring yourself and your faith and examining yourself as we sing the invitation song. If you're prepared to do that, it would be our delight to assist you if you'll come while we stand and sing.